So I'm going to start talking now because I have a lot to share with you. I have the challenge of sharing about one of my most favorite things in the world, and that's the Gulf Region Health Outreach Program. I'm a preventive medicine and internal medicine physician, so this is the type of program that made me want to become a doctor, only I didn't know about it back then because it didn't exist. And so we'll talk a little bit about how it came to be and what we do through the example of three of our four projects. Again, that's what makes this difficult. I've got to talk to you about three projects across four states. So as Dr. Russ mentioned, I used to work for him when I worked at Morehouse. Luckily, I don't work for him anymore, so if I go over time, he can't beat me up when I get back to Atlanta, though he might try to track me down. I do have a disclosure, and that is that I receive consulting fees from BP through my work with the Gulf Region Health Outreach Program. The program is coordinated by the Gulf Region Health Outreach Program Coordinating Committee, which consists of representatives from each of the four projects, as well as three independent members. And as the chair of the committee, I am one of those independent members. I have to read our full funding acknowledgement. Please forgive me. The program was developed jointly by BP and the Plaintiffs Steering Committee as part of the Deepwater Horizon Medical Benefits Class Action Settlement, which was approved by the U.S. District Court in New Orleans on January 11, 2013, and became effective on February 12, 2014. The outreach program is supervised by the court and is funded with $105 million from the medical settlement. Now, to tell you, what's exciting about this is that the other portions of the settlement were for individual claims. But how often do lawyers from opposing sides come together and say, let's do something for the community? That's what happened here. Again, this is just the most exciting thing ever. So the program is a series of four integrated five-year projects designed to strengthen health care in certain Gulf Coast communities in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and the Florida Panhandle. The target beneficiaries are residents, especially the underserved and uninsured people in 17 coastal counties and parishes. In Louisiana, we call counties parishes. And I say we because I'm a native New Orleanian, which is, again, this underscores a lot of my excitement about the program. Here's just a very brief listing, a chart, showing the counties and parishes. And I'm going to go on just in the sake of time. So again, I mentioned we've got four integrated projects, and part of my work as chair is to encourage the coordination and integration of these projects, and we'll talk through them and their work. Primary care capacity project, I see Joe Kimbrell, who's the CEO of the Louisiana Public Health Institute, so hello. The Mental and Behavioral Health Capacity Project, we've got four universities, LSU Health Sciences Center, University of Southern Mississippi, University of South Alabama, and the University of West Florida. And I saw Dr. Howard Osofsky, who he and Dr. Joy Osofsky head up the Louisiana portion of that project. And we've got Environmental Health and Capacity Project. We've got Tulane and Maureen Litchfield is here. And if you know Kathy Kirkland from the Association of Occupational and Environmental Clinics, she's also a part of the project. And then we've got a community health workers training project. We're not going to talk too much about that particular project, though you will hear about its work because the community health workers training project and the environmental health project work together to train the community health workers. If I had more time, I'd talk in more detail about that, but I don't have that. And then we've got a community-based organization called the Alliance Institute, which is based in New Orleans, whose job is to do community involvement across all four of the projects. So I'd like to jump right into talking about the primary care capacity project. It provides focal funding to clinics. That means it gives them money to do really cool things that they don't have money to do. Provides technical assistance because they need some guidance sometimes and how to really leverage those funds for future funding as well as how to bill so that the work can continue even after our funding ends, because again, this is a limited time project. It also funds a regional care collaborative, which brings the project stakeholders together to meet and exchange ideas, which we also believe really contributes to sustainability. And it does a variety of systems investments, and I've listed some here, but that includes health information exchange networks, EMR interfaces, etc. And so to kind of give you an idea of what the PCCP, or Primary Care Capacity Project, does, I want to talk to you really highlighting three clinics. Again, because this focus is integration of public health and primary care, I am going to lift up the work of schools and county or state health departments, primarily county health departments. with our work. We work with a number of other FQHCs. I won't talk too much about those today just because of the focus of this presentation. So first, the Mobile County Health Department. What types of things are our focal funding supporting? Partial salary support for expanding key personnel. If you're at an FQHC and you want to hire new people and you don't have money, but here comes this great program that says, hey, we'll give you money to help hire someone. And we'll also provide some technical assistance to you so you can start billing and provide funds for you to actually keep this person on. That's the kind of thing that we do. Also purchasing medical equipment, emergency preparedness. The health department told us that they needed a generator. And they came to me as the chair and said, well, you know, can we pay for this? And we said, well, yeah, because it's a part of emergency preparedness, so please, please let's pay for this. Again, really one, I think, an essential thing that we can provide funding for. We also funded for 3 dental operatories and, again, provide technical assistance to them. The Walton County Health Department is in Florida. We also, again, provided funding for staff. But what's really exciting is that they leveraged our funds with funds that they got from the state of Florida to create a full-time community health worker position for a pilot program working within the health center and also with the Florida Department of Health's community resource leaders. And so, again, that integration and really leveraging those funds, I think, is a great example of how our funds are being used to really make the existing system in Florida more robust, which is, again, was part of our original intention. It has also, actually beyond the healthcare center, the program funded the Florida Department of Health's membership fees, we'll say, for 1 year of being a partner to support and enhance community health assessment and community health improvement planning efforts. Again, this is one of those things that we all know is really important, but quite frequently, local health departments don't always have the funds for this. So this is a way that we saw to just really enhance that foundation. And the program worked with the Florida Institute for Health Innovation to provide technical assistance. Again, really making those connections more solid. Now, what's going on at the Escambia Community Clinic is incredibly exciting. The Louisiana Public Health Institute, in designing the project, said, we want to do a demonstration project to kind of test out how these FQHCs that we're working with would progress toward a community-centered health home. So if you haven't heard of community-centered health home, what is it? It's a way to move beyond the patient-centered medical home, or PCMH, and really allow FQHCs to really embed themselves more deliberately within the communities and extend their arms is one way to put it. So what this Escambia Community Clinic is doing is that they have worked with an elementary school, a local school that has 600 students. It's located in a blighted community that has a lot of poverty and crime, and it's working with them to really expand those relationships and make it robust. Now, another layer, again, part of my job as the chair of the coordinating committee is to coordinate and make sure people are working well together, right? One of the other groups that's a part of the initiative is actually the University of West Florida, which we're going to talk about toward the end of this presentation in regard to their mental health work. But I like to lift up this example because it's showing how our primary care folks are working well with our mental health folks in terms of really providing resources for these clinics. You'll see that we'll talk a lot throughout this program about the Mobile County Health Department, and that's deliberate so that you can see how each of our projects is working with them. This is just a photo that shows the school that's a part of the community-centered health home work. And then I brought pictures of PanCare. PanCare is an FQHC that's in Florida. So it's not really, we're not really talking about it much else during this presentation, but I was just so moved that they've been wanting to buy a mobile unit. And so they used some of our funds to help to purchase that, which is really helping them with their work with schools, and we'll come to talk about that toward the end of the presentation, too. And at the bottom is Noella, which is a clinic in New Orleans East that serves a largely Vietnamese community. And so they also used our funds in their work in expanding and getting a new building. So I'll talk just very briefly about our environmental health capacity and literacy project. It is a component, as I mentioned before, it's got Tulane and also AEOC. And so this is a great diagram that shows you just all of the wonderful work that they're doing. AEOC is leading the initiative to work with the community clinics and providing referrals for environmental and occupational health work. So I'll give you an example about that in just a few minutes. Also doing continuing medical education to work with primary care physicians to increase their knowledge so that they can apply that in their work. They are also doing training for teachers who teach environmental health sciences, and there's a great emerging scholars program for high school students. And then also you'll see here the Fussy Baby Network and the Community Health Worker Placement Project. Now, the Community Health Worker Placement is really important because, again, as I mentioned, they are trained in conjunction with the Community Health Workers Training Project and the Environmental Health Project. And this is a nice diagram that shows you that we have community health workers placed across the Gulf region. Maureen and her team also bring them together for continuing education. And here's a list of them by state. Again, you'll see the Mobile County Health Department here. They're getting a piece of all of the action, which we really like. And again, going really quickly, they do some specialized modules that are designed based on the feedback that Maureen and her team have received from the community health workers and their supervisors. Here's just a picture of the RFK Lafitte Medical Center, which is one of the centers it's located in a rural fishing village. And see, that's a shrimp processing plant. That plant has fed me my entire life. I still import my shrimp every time I go home and bring it back. And I just want to give you just some examples of the visits per year at this site. Now, it's a new site that just started. So actually, one of the Alliance Institute, which does our community involvement, helped to get this clinic started. You see there are admittedly small numbers of our OEM referrals. That's for two reasons. Well, I'll say three. One, it's a new clinic. Two, keep in mind that we are doing training for the primary care physicians there so that they handle some things themselves and then refer on to our team for EOM specialists. And then also, again, because it's a new center, there's some trust that had to be built with the community. There have been other clinics that have come in and out, and so that's kind of taken some time for them to work up on. But the mayor believes so much in this clinic and in our work that he subsidized the money that they pay for rent to keep it going. And this is just a breakdown of the age group and race, but we'll move on. Mental Behavioral Health is doing some really exciting things in Louisiana. They're providing therapeutic services in clinics. They actually work in the RFK Lafitte Clinic that I just showed you pictures of. They're working in schools, a number of schools working with kids who have behavioral problems and who are kind of in a kind of like an in-school suspension type setting, providing support groups and education for parents as well as for the children. They have found just really great results, both from the adults and the children who are part of the work. This is a picture. I told you we'd come back to Florida. So you'll see here a listing of our project in Florida and where they are in different sites. The ones highlighted in bold red are ones that are at elementary schools or at state clinics. So you'll even see, by surprise, the Pensacola State College and the Florida State University, the Panama City campus, that there are still a number of public resources that really just don't have the breadth to do the work that needs to be done in terms of providing mental health services, and our project is able to support that. And these are just some photos from youth mental health first aid training. This is an example of what their sites look like in their schools. I love these pictures because these schools have given them dedicated space to provide counseling. They've got licensed clinical social workers in Florida doing this work, and those are some of the student interns that are working there. This is a lovely poem that I wish I had time to read Dr. Russ will just have to kill me. This is a kid who wrote this poem during one of his counseling sessions, and regardless of your spiritual or religious beliefs, I think it's deeply moving. And it says, "I know there is a God. When the sun rises, I know there is a God. When I see all the birds fly, I know there is a God. When I'm crying out for him, I know there is a God. When I see people laugh, I know there is a God. I know that this is love. I am pretty sure it is, because he loves me just the way I am." And this is a child who clearly needed the type of support and the space to share his feelings, and we're able to provide that. These are just some extra pictures. Almost done. Our Mental Behavioral Health Capacity Project in Alabama, again, we see the Mobile County Health Department here. This project is based out of the University of South Alabama. and is working with multiple clinics within this large FQHC system, one at the Mobile County Health Department, another at Franklin Primary Health Center. And I mention these two because it's really great, the interconnectedness that's there. They actually have, our funds provide support for the Mobile County Health Department to hire an integrated behavioral health specialist. And Franklin has also followed suit and independently hired that person, which is wonderful because it allows for enhanced collaboration because they've got shared personnel. They are working with policies for suicidal and homicidal and intimate partner violence behavior, and also providing trainings and really working hard for integration within the electronic health record, which we think is going to be so important for true integration of mental health within the primary care setting. I could talk more about that, but that's an entirely different session. I am out of time, but I want to thank our partners, both the ones who are here as well as those who supported me in providing the information that I've shared for you today. And here's some information that you can learn about us on our website. Thank you very much.